The Gospel according to St. Matthew, chapter 5, from the verse number 13 to the verse number 20, I desired that we read for our meditation today, before our prayer to the Lord. We are the salt of the earth, but if the salt have lost his savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing, but to be cast out, and to be trodden under foot of men. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on an hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men, that they may see your good works, and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill. For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law, till all be fulfilled. Whosoever therefore shall break one of these least commandments and shall teach men so, he shall be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. But whosoever shall do and teach them, the same shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I say unto you, that except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, ye shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven. Gracious and loving Heavenly Father, as we look into this scripture, we pray, O Father, for thy guidance, thy protection, thy correction. We pray, Lord, for an open mind and heart for thy holy word. Gracious Lord, our loving Heavenly Father, in our weak faith, we believe that these are the words that thou hast given to thy Son. But we also see, O Lord, that thy word flows like a river of life through the lips of thy Son. But with us, O Lord, it is not so. Thou hast told us that we cannot even see the kingdom of thine if our righteousness is not going to exceed the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees. O gracious and loving Heavenly Father, they had so many good things that they have done. They have studied the scripture, and they taught zealously their young ones. They watched over the Sabbath. They did many things that seemed to be godly, and yet they did not recognize thy presence in the person of thy Son. Lord God, our Heavenly Father, what can we say? If thou wilt look upon our righteousness to open the kingdom to us, we will be lost forever. O gracious Lord, almighty God, our loving Heavenly Father, we pray that thou bestow upon us the righteousness of the Lamb of God, that thou cover our defenseless souls and spirits with the holiness, righteousness, godliness, purity, full commitment, full dedication of Christ the Savior, our Lord, our Redeemer, our Savior. Gracious and loving Heavenly Father, feed us with this bread of life and give us new life in Christ. Grant us that simple wisdom from heaven that is not acceptable to the complicated human mind, educated to be skillful in doing evil. Gracious Lord, our mighty God, we could say like one of thy prophets said, we live among the people of unclean lips, and our lips are unclean also. Gracious Lord, almighty God, sanctify thou us by the abiding presence of thy Spirit, Lord, and let thy Son, thy beloved one in whom thou art perfectly pleased, be our Lord of lords, our King of kings. Grant us, O Heavenly Father, that lordship of love and mercy that thou hast given us in Christ Jesus. And be thou our Master, O Heavenly Father, to mold us into the image of Christ. Gracious Lord, almighty God, only thou hast the power to make us and keep us as the salt to the earth and light to the world. If we are continually receiving our saltness from thy truth, and if the rays of thy light in Christ are shining through our daily walk, through our words, through our thoughts and desires. Gracious Lord, almighty God, we pray that thou bless thy word today, that thou multiply the gospel message, that thou make us thy true and faithful witnesses, witnessing to the truth of that gospel of everlasting salvation in Christ Jesus our Lord. And give us grace and understanding that we may see that before the foundations of the world and until the time shall be no more, there is no other name in heaven or under heaven, that only Christ is the Savior of our souls. Gracious Lord Almighty God, we pray that Thou make us a living example of Thy abundant goodness and grace in Christ toward those that believe, and that Thou make us a living testimony to those that Thou art calling out of the world of sin to the light of the knowledge of Thy gospel. And we pray, O Heavenly Father, that Thou make us a warning, and that our testimony would be heralding the day of judgment to all those who reject Thy gospel. Gracious Lord, Almighty God, only in Christ we can have that righteousness whose eternal reward is in the heavenly glory, in the perfect peace, in the bliss of that joy of worshiping Thee and glorifying Thy name, far away from sin and iniquity, and forever free from our weaknesses, shortcomings, mistakes, misunderstandings, misapplications, ignorances, and superstitions. O God, give us grace and power, we pray, to live and walk, to grow and mature in the spirit of Thy beloved Son, our blessed Redeemer. Gracious Lord, Almighty God, we pray that Thy will be done, and that the glory and majesty of Thy holy name that has filled the universe may fill our hearts, that we may continually worship Thee in the spirit of the Savior, in the truth of Thy gospel, that we may worship Thee with deepest gratitude and the highest reverence, that we may worship Thee, O Heavenly Father, with love and adoration toward all that is Thine. For Thou alone, O Lord, art our Creator and our Savior, and Thou art worthy to receive power and government, worship and praise. And Thou alone, O Heavenly Father, wilt receive all that belong to Thee through the Savior that Thou hast sent to this earth, to Christ Jesus our Lord, our great martyr and Redeemer, the Lamb of God, whom Thou hast made eternal Prince of Peace, King of Kings, the Victor above all victors. O gracious Lord, Almighty God, by Thy grace we believe that before this King of Thine, every power of the enemy will collapse. But we pray, O Heavenly Father, that that happen first in our souls, in our mind, in our hearts. Grant us Thy victory in Christ, victory over sin and death, Satan and the world, new life in Christ, and peace and joy in doing Thy will from the heart and looking forward to the full fulfillment of Thy promises. O gracious and loving Heavenly Father, even today, save the lost and heal the sick, comfort the sad and strengthen the weak and raise the dead. And may the army that Thou hast revealed to a prophet, arisen from the dead, bones scattered on the ground, be completed, because Thou hast said the word of truth and power, and it has not returned to Thee empty and void. Gracious Lord Almighty God, blessed be Thy name. Blessed be Thy name, O Heavenly Father, in all the hearts of Thy children, in earth and much more in heaven, forever and ever. Amen. You are the salt of the earth, the Lord said to His disciples. But then He added, but if the salt have lost his savor, the taste, the saltiness, wherewith shall it be salted? And I look into that and I wonder, if this is the salt of the earth, that would mean that without this salt, the earth is tasteless. Salt is adding the taste to the food that we eat. Salt is giving some protection to the newborn babies in the times of old. How can salt lost its savor? There's a different taste in the earth and different taste in the salt. The taste in the salt is much stronger than the taste of the earth. How can salt lost its savor? If the salt become like the earth. And the Lord said to the disciples, ye are the salt of the earth. So I would wonder and try to figure out, what is the saltness? How to describe that taste? And this teaching has been a continuation of the teaching in the preceding verses. In the beginning of chapter 5, we can read, and seeing the multitudes, he went up into a mountain, And when he was set, his disciples came unto him. He is teaching his disciples, and he is giving them the value of that saltiness, the description, the dimension, the qualification of being the salt to this earth. He opened his mouth, he talked freely, clearly, loudly, and taught them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for this is the kingdom of heaven." And now he's not talking indirectly, blessed are they or those, but now directly to the disciples, blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad. For great is your reward in heaven, for so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. Saltiness. Oh, how much salt in these words. And in those that are blessed. And now my question. Am I salt to the earth? Do I rejoice? Am I exceeding glad? Rejoicing in that great reward in heaven when I am persecuted? When the people say all manner of evil against me falsely, for Christ's sake, when they revile, when they persecute, can I focus on the kingdom of heaven when the persecution is pressing hard? Am I the peacemaker? Do I know how to be one? What about the purity in heart? And what does that mean to be merciful? Do I hunger after righteousness? Am I me? Do I mourn when I see the tragedy of individuals and all of the humanity? Am I aware of my poverty in the spirit? How much I lack? Is this book for me as the Lord's mouth open and the message of the gospel plain and clear and delightful and strong and life-giving? If the Lord himself will answer in confirmation, yes, 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 to all these questions concerning my own soul, by the grace of God, I am salt to the earth. But if not, then all that I am worthy of is to be cast out, to be trodden under feet of man. I think that looking across the book of truth, from the margin on the left-hand side all the way to the margin on the right-hand side, this would be the basic meaning of the verse number 13. You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt has lost his savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing, but to be cast out and to be trodden under feet of men. But then we see the next verse. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. So what is the purpose of Christian living here? I remember an old pilgrim, an old traveler was preaching about new life in Christ, and he said that he is sometimes asking himself the question, once the Lord has delivered someone from the darkness and the shackles of sin and brought him into the liberty in Christ, why would not the Lord take that soul right away to him? Because next moment, already, the perfect purity given through the blood of Christ is marred and needs purifying again. But in the wisdom and great goodness and might of our Heavenly Father, he has appointed that this weak man receive the power of the Lamb of God to defeat the great enemy, Satan. And so, the small children of our Heavenly Father are battling here on this earth. Now, we are not taken immediately into the heavenly kingdom far away from all testing and temptation. There is a purpose for our being here, and the Lord has made each individual in his kingdom and all of his children together a city that is set on a hill. It's impossible for a Christian to hide himself or herself in this world around us. But then, in the next verse, we see clearly it's not the purpose of being here. Men do not light a candle and place it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, so that it giveth light unto all that are in the house. When the Lord was telling the disciples the parable of the sower and the parable of the tares, he said that the field is the world. Now, here he's talking about all that are in the house. Perhaps we can think about two houses. One large house of humanity and one small house of the fellowship in Christ here on this earth. Where two or three are gathered in the name of Christ, there is the Spirit of the Lord present. So each one of us should speak the truth, which is the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and should live in righteousness, which is the acts of his disciples today. And then each one is to be the light to everyone else that are around him, believing in the Lord Jesus, to share the abundance of God's word, the brightness of his truth, his revelations, to share his blessings, his comfort, his encouragement, to help and to strengthen one another. But then each one and we all together should live in such a way that the light of the truth, gospel truth that our Lord and Savior has brought down here, will shine to us. The Lord said to the disciples, and it is still his teaching to the disciples today, by this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you have love among yourself. Charity should be the character of each redeemed soul. We read here in the verse number 16, the Lord is openly, clearly commanding us, let your light so shine before men, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. In the chapter 6, verse number 1, he said, take heed that you do not your alms before men to be seen of them, otherwise you have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. And then he gives the instruction how to do it secretly. And now here in chapter 5, verse 16, he said, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. No contradiction whatsoever. Actually, these two passages clarify one another. We may take another example that will help us. Our Lord and Savior said, when you pray, let it be only between you and the Heavenly Father. Let it not be for any other reason, like the people to see you praying. Pretending to pray to your Heavenly Father, actually striving to gain the respect of the other people. And yet, what happened to the disciples after they were publicly beaten because they preached the gospel? Actually, before that, after they were forbidden to preach the gospel, they came back to the congregation, to the number of the disciples, and told them what is the order of the local government. And they got together, they lifted up their voices in prayer, asking the Lord to continue doing his wonderful work and save the souls. They didn't say, each one of us get into a closet and let none be seen by anybody else, and let's pray to our Heavenly Father in secrecy. They just prayed openly in their circle. And not only that, Paul the Apostle, in the midst of tempest and facing shipwreck, is encouraging the other people to eat because they're fasting for so long because of their fear and constant expectation of a crash, of a death in the waves of the angry sea. Tempestuous sea. They could not eat. And he is telling them not to worry much. And after Paul the Apostle told them the promise of the Lord, he took bread. He breaks that loaf or whatever form of bread was, and he gave thanks to the Lord and started eating. He gave thanks to the Lord. It's a prayer of thanksgiving openly before the unbelievers. So what is the teaching of the Lord? How shall we understand that when he says, pray to your Father in secrecy? When we pray, our focus is on the Father. Our desire is to receive from the Father the things that he wants to give us, that he is willing to give us, that he has promised to give to those that ask, nothing else. No room for hypocrisy, no room for false godliness and piety. Here in the verse number 16, he said, let your light so shine. Now that's not our purpose, to tell the whole world, look at us, look at us. Our light is shining. No. But that even in the midst of persecution, even in spite of much opposition around us, that we freely live this gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that light must shine through us. That we be not embarrassed or ashamed of living for Christ. In other words, live the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ as normally as you can, and the light will shine. Because in the gospel is the word of God, and our Lord and Savior is the living word of God, and He is the one that shines. Now, as the Lord was teaching, and when He was explaining the meaning of the law to the people, the Lord's explanation, the Lord's teaching was so different from the traditional teaching of the scribes and Pharisees that some people could have thought, and sadly, some people nowadays think the same, that our Lord and Savior is changing everything. No, He's not changing anything other than wrong understanding of the Word of God, and especially hypocrisy. In the verse number 17, we read the words of the Lord, think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill. And He did fulfill the law.